You've landed at the 13 Moons Women's Temple podcast with your hosts, Sam and Leela.
Great.
Hi.
It might be nice to, we should probably center ourselves.
Yes, that would be really nice to do.
Yeah, okay. Let's center ourselves, but let's do, I was going to be fancy, but let's not be fancy. Let's actually do something that will really help with the discussion that we're doing. Let's do alternating nostril breathing so that we can experience a state of equilibrium within ourselves before we touch on how we find equilibrium within a certain subject.
Perfect.
Okay, so it doesn't matter how you want to block your nostrils. It's really just what's more comfortable. I always like to block at the bottom because it just seems less harsh than trapping off the nostril. And you can rest your fingers wherever. I just tend to move or use my ring finger for one nostril and my thumb for the other. Just do whatever you're used to doing in your personal practice. And all we're going to do is we'll just take a breath through both nostrils and exhale through both nostrils. And then let's block the right nostril and inhale through the left nostril. And then block the left, exhale through the right. Inhale through the right. And exhale through the left. And just continue inhaling through the left. Exhaling right. Inhaling right. And exhale left. Just do one more in your own time. When you finish that exhale through the left nostril, just relax the hands and inhale deeply through both nostrils. Suspend the breath. Exhale fully, both nostrils. Inhale deeply, both nostrils. Exhale the breath all the way out. Suspend the breath out, just apply that subtle root lock. Gently inhale. And exhale.
Perfect.
Very simple. Sometimes things are very simple. So hello everyone, we're coming on today on like a sort of a separate podcast to our current regular Moon Diary podcast to give you a quick update on our own I would say personal, as if Leela and I are one person, but like personal 13 Moons astrological journey. My first thing that I want to say, and this is what we would like to say, is that it's like the heavens want to speak. Interesting. the first thing that we want to say is neither of us are astrologers. And we don't pertain to be astrologers. We do study with astrologers, and we love astrology, and we have been studying it and practicing it for a very long time, but neither of us want to present in a way that makes you think that we are astrologers. And that's really important, because we also need you to know that when we share astrology with you, we are sharing knowledge that we've either gained from our own intuitive perception of what is occurring, or it's because we've followed someone, and we normally state who it is that we are quoting or who has inspired us. That's very important to us and the way that we practice everything that we do. And why that's important is sometimes we get things wrong, and that's good, because that means that we can remain humble and apologize when we do get things wrong. And of course, it's very human when you're learning to make mistakes or to change your mind. And we just want to be very clear that we're just humans trying to do the best we can to support you and support ourselves. And that's really our main aim. And so the reason I'm saying that is because what we want to talk to you about today is astrology. So having said all that, we're now going to talk to you about astrology. But it's very much about the tradition of astrology and the astrology that we have been following and have been sharing with you from the moon's point of view.
Can I just jump in and say something there before we sort of go into the realms of astrology? I think it's also important to note that we teach seasons and cycles, and we teach and we very much follow the cycles and the seasons of the earth and the cycle and seasons of the moon and the cycle and the great kind of cosmic cycles as well. And in and amongst that is the practice of astrology as it relates to the zodiac. And sometimes I think it's important to remember that you can follow seasons and cycles without needing to have it completely related to the zodiac, but that when we do look at that great or at our local cosmic neighborhood, we get deeper insights and understanding. And that's why we sort of Sam and I not being astrologers, we never, all our 13 moons venture and business is not about delivering our teachings of Kundalini yoga with the teaching of astrology, but that they very much complement each other, because we're about following your personal seasons, your personal cycles, the seasons and cycles that we are a part of on the earth, and then the greater seasons and cycles. And this is going back to you, Sam, with what you're about to sort of introduce, is there are a number of ways which we are discovering and learning that you can track these greater cycles, and we're on a real awesome journey with that.
So as Leela was just saying, which is we want to follow what it is that we're seeing in our direct surroundings. This is the first thing that's important. So one of the things that we're acutely aware of, and some of you will have heard us talking about this many times, and if you've been studying with us on the healers training, you'll notice this. We've discussed how the astrology that we're following seems to pertain a lot to the northern hemisphere. And we are in fact here in the southern hemisphere. And this sometimes doesn't sit brilliantly with us. So that's been the first thing. And this happened, we started to think this, really, we started teaching this healer's training this year. It's like, wow, this is so interesting. Here we are, we're about to start the zodiac. We're talking about Aries being, you know, the start of the zodiac. And yet here in Australia, we're coming into autumn. It's back to front. And that is because it has been taken from this northern hemisphere concept or map, and it's just been brought here to Australia, and we're just running with it as it is. And so we have been working with you to show you that, obviously, for example, we're, even though we're about to come up to Halloween, and that's very apparent in Kmart and Target, we are in fact, you know, which is the celebration of Samhain, we are not there in Australia. We're actually coming into Beltane. And so it is confusing because we've taken it out of context. We've picked something up from one place, brought it over and dropped it into a different land. And there is a lot more we could say about all of that. And that's probably a whole different podcast. So we won't go there now because there's so much conversation to be had around the cultural appropriation of all of these things, many of the things that we do. And we do consider this a lot and have done, especially with yoga over the years that we've been teaching. However, what we want to talk about today is what we're seeing in the sky. So both Leela and I have these amazing apps on our phone. We can't recommend them enough. It's called Skyview. And we love them because it means that we can go outside and look up and find what the constellations are at any one day. And it's beautiful and it's fun to do with the kids. I mean, that's why I got it. I think why you got it initially too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We were like, wow, what star is that? And, you know, we're looking at something in some far off galaxy, and it's really nice. And I think we're both, you and I, Sam, we, you know, we're cosmically minded. And so we like to explore what's happening out there.
Mm. And sometimes we find out that it's not a star, it's actually a satellite.
Oh yeah, that's fun too.
And then all the nature. Too many. So what we've started to notice is on the nights that we're telling you it's a new moon in, so I don't know, let's say, so for example, where we're at now, we were gonna come on last night and say to you, it's a new moon in Scorpio. That's brilliant. And it is tropically, I'll get there in a moment. But if you look up at the sky through your Skyview map, it's actually going to show you that the constellation that we're sitting under is actually Libra, and we haven't moved into Scorpio yet. So then we start to ask the question, why? Why is that happening? And this is where what we're about to talk about came from for us. And that is that what we have learned, and it's not something new, I'm going to be honest, because I really just need to be clear on this. We have an amazing friend called Simi Sutton, who has been teaching this type of astrology for a long time, and we both hold her in high regard. And she also teaches a 13 sign astrology, which we both looked into, and we hold everything that she teaches in high regard. And she has been talking about this for some time. But when we first started learning this from her or considering it with her, it was almost like it's too much. Like, because it's, and she's amazing. The way she's talking about it is like, yes, this is the way forward. We've got to, you know, embrace this, move forward. But for us, it was like, oh, this is too confusing. It's so much easier to sit with what we know. And that's where we're at right now, because we're at this place where even just before we came on to talk, one of the things that Leela said to me was, isn't this just going to confuse everyone? And I said, maybe, but at the same time, it doesn't seem right for us to sit and not share where it is that we're at, because that too would just mean that we're just going to put blinkers on and just continue to share what we think we should share, because that's what we think you want to hear. And we're definitely not about that.
Yeah. And also, what we're talking about is popular astrology and the astrology that 99% of you follow without even realizing is one method of astrology, but it's not the only one. And it's also not the language of astrology that is playing out in the real-time night sky. And that in itself is a massive paradigm shift. And it takes a lot of energy, and this is where, and this is the journey. And I think, you know, Sam, we've been on this now for a couple of years. When Simi sort of moved into the 13 sign astrology, that is a massive paradigm shift. How can you have 13 zodiacs in 12, and then you go and Google it and you've got all of the big astrologers going, it's not true and blah blah. Anyway, so it's a very interesting conversation, and it's a very big thing to go through, because you have to change predominantly what you believe, and then you have to ask yourself, well, why do I believe the thing that I'm believing? And then you have to ask yourself, why should I change? And then it all starts to unravel, and it's a wonderful wonderful yogic experience to allow yourself to go into that which you take as truth. Are you just taking that for granted? Where has the information come from?
We talk about it so much, discernment. It's just discernment. And this is one of the things that I think is probably my biggest thing. Like, why do you believe what you believe? Why? Who told you that? And is it true?
Yes. And the answer to that question doesn't even matter. It's not to say, and this is not to say that anything is right or wrong, but in the process of unraveling beliefs, you have to be able to recognize that anything is possible and anything can be right. And the belief that you once had could still be the truth, or perhaps its truth has come to its end. So very cool, very cool.
Yes. And I think as well, the other thing is, we can also happily live without any of it. So none of it actually even matters in the bigger picture of things. If we didn't actually know, it would be fine too. So this is also incredibly, we're quite fortunate to be able to even sit and have these conversations and be considering it. So that in itself is quite powerful. Now, to get back to what we actually want to explain today, and then we can go into this in a bigger conversation at another point and answer any questions. What we want to explain is that what we have been following when we've been teaching the Moon Diaries and on our healers training has been from the tropical zodiac. And I'm going to explain that in a moment. And what we're talking to you about when we say there is currently a different constellation in the sky than the tropical astrology says, that there is called sidereal astrology, or it could be Vedic sidereal astrology. Why that's interesting is Vedic astrology is actually from India, and so can be seen as being more aligned with the yogic tradition anyway. There are different forms of sidereal astrology. Vedic sidereal astrology is just one path. That also is quite important to note. Now, this is where it gets a little bit technical. So what we're going to do is we're going to use a couple of things that we have found to help explain the difference between these, and then we'll talk about it a bit more. So I'll go first with a quite simple explanation, and then Leela's going to sort of explain the maths.
Great.
And I just want to just note, this is not my words, so we'll share where we got this information from in the podcast notes after, but actually this is an article written by someone called Ian Michael Ferguson. And so it's basically about the difference between sidereal and tropical zodiacs. There are many, many articles. I'm not saying that this is the best one. And actually, there's another one by a really good, or another, some other words by a really good woman that we've been following from Rama called Cody Channel. And she actually has given us really has given us quite a bit of courage to just sort of go, yes, we can do this, and we can do what we're planning to do, because she's doing it and it's confusing, but it makes sense too. I think that's the best way of explaining it, really. So basically what this guy is saying is, if like me you live in the Western world and know anything about astrology, it may be that you consider yourself to be whatever star sign you are. So that might be, in my case, I'm a Cancer. or one of the other 11 signs. But what does it mean exactly? Well, that's our sun signs, first of all, to be clear. And this is the constellation that the sun was residing in on the day that you were born. So that's what that is. However, there have been a number of people who have been told that, or have started saying that astrology is wrong, because what they're finding is that they're told that they're in Aries, but actually on the day that they're born, if like us, they got their sky view out and looked up into the sky, they're seeing that, so if they were in Aries, they'd be seeing the constellation was actually in Pisces. So therefore people are saying, how can that be? So the reason for this is due to what's called the tropical zodiac. This is where it gets good. The tropical zodiac, the zodiac most Western astrologers use, is based on where the sun was stationed on each calendar day 2000 plus years ago. This was when astrology moved from India into the West via moving through the Zoroastrian Persia. I'm probably saying that wrong and I apologize. When this happened, a big philosophical debate took hold relating to the predestination versus free will. And it also led to the tropical zodiac. That is to say that the tropical zodiac, the zodiac became frozen in the sky as the sky thousands of years ago. So the tropical zodiac was a set date which came from this 2000 plus years ago. As they moved it across, they kept it there. And here's the thing, the sky isn't fixed. So the Earth, as some of you might know, has a wobble. And this is called the precession of the equinoxes. And over the course of thousands of years, the sky shifts and the constellation the sun was once in is no longer the same on a given day. So for example, if you're an Aries in a tropical zodiac, and thousands of years ago, the sun was in the constellation Aries on the day that you were born. However, if due to the wobble of the Earth, the sun is now actually in the constellation of Pisces on the day that you are born. So this makes you a Pisces according to the sidereal zodiac. So the sidereal zodiac actually tracks the wobble of the Earth via the precession of the equinoxes. Now, so what's really important is that to know that incredibly, the genius rishis who were enlightened sages of the Vedic India had a mathematical system in place that somehow accounted for the precession of the equinoxes. This is even more amazing when we understand that the only way that it's possible is either 3,000 plus years of very precise astronomical observations and mathematical modeling, or someone being able to observe the wobble of the Earth via a satellite. This means that Jyotish or Vedic sidereal astrology must be vastly older than the 2,500 year old date when it was formally recorded in ancient India. Now we're going to talk about that mathematical equation.
Kind of. So
not quite the same as the Jyotish.
Really. No, it won't be anywhere near as sophisticated as what the rishis would explain it. But in very simple terms, when you have the sun and then you have the earth and the earth rotates around the sun, it gradually shifts about 1 degree. In the zodiac, each zodiac has 29 degrees, and a degree is just a measure of space. And so for each degree, every time, so you'll hear astrologers say the moon is at 29 degrees Sagittarius. That is literally just explaining exactly at what point in space the object or the planet is being observed at. So each zodiac has 29 degrees. And then when you add that all up, that makes 360 degrees of the full circle. Every 72 years, because of the precession of the equinoxes and the wobble of the Earth, the view of the Earth shifts about 1 degree. And so over 2,500 years or 2,000 years, it has shifted just about an entire zodiac sign. Yeah. And this is just what's called the live sky. and this is for live sky astrology, is where you're actually observing what is happening in the night sky, as opposed to a fixed model, which is what tropical astrology does. Now, we want to also be very clear that there is nothing, we're not saying that tropical astrology is wrong, because there is, we just do not want to say that at all. That is not the case. And Sam's going to explain why that's not the case as well. What is very important in, well, for us, what's been very important in digesting the change in the paradigm in the way that we're relating to the stars in the sky and the relationship that they have to the zodiac is through an evolutionary perspective. We have to, and we must, particularly now that we are, we're in this twilight of the Aquarian age, and as we move forwards, and it's essential as Kundalini yoga teachers anyway, that we have to be continuing to take into account what is the evolutionary perspective, because change is the only constant. And what we know to be true of the fixed Piscean age is that when we become too fixed in our ways and we don't embrace change, or we fear change, that only goes to the suppression and the non-evolution of the human being. And so I think what has attracted Sam and I to really embracing or realizing that this is definitely the time to embrace the fact that things are not exactly what they seem, but why, is because we're committed to acknowledging what the reality is right now, and also acknowledging that reality shifts, and that we are only going to continue to see more change, and to not be afraid of that, and to not be afraid of the paradigm shift that will come within you from change, but to be able to step into that with honesty, integrity, curiosity, and no judgment.
And it's such a great time to be looking at change, really, anyway. From an astrological point of view, we are right in the window of change. So there's never going to be a better time than right now, having just had a new moon with a partial solar eclipse, which could be seen as being in the tropical sign of Scorpio or the sidereal sign of Libra. It's actually a perfect time to be discussing this. So there are definitely no mistakes. So what we want you to understand, or how we are going to move forward with this, is we're going to continue to learn, and I'm sure many people will want to help us, and that's okay. We're just gonna keep meditating. I would definitely, that's, you know, one of the things, because for me, I think that's the biggest thing, is being okay with the uncomfortable part of change. And the uncomfortable part is that some people aren't going to like the fact that we're having a change, or we're considering something different. But that is part of continual evolution. We have to change. And change is one of the only sure things. And so with that, the way we want to explain this to you in a simple terms is, we very much see that the tropical astrology, which is the fixed signs, which is basically connected to the seasons of the earth, because it's fixed on those seasons and on those equinoxes and those precessions without changing. We see that as, you know, very much holding true for the practical 3D aspects of what it is we're physically experiencing at this time. And the benefit of then looking at the sidereal astrology, which is what we're seeing in the sky, is that that can help us to connect more to our emotion, to our emotional intelligence, to our evolution. And it could be said, and this is kind of a lot of discussion about 3D and 5D, that this is much more of that 5D approach to where it is that we're heading. So in a way, it can be seen that one is this physical current time and space that we're in, tropical, and then the sidereal can help us with that futuristic concept, where it is that we feel that we're going to, that which feels more evolutionary to us at this time. And so within any one time, you might find yourself being able to relate to both. And in due course, we will show you how you can explore the difference between your, and certainly if you're learning with us on the healers training, we'll be covering this. We'll be exploring how you can find out more about your sidereal chart. Now, we haven't decided or discussed before this call whether we're going to do the 13 signs sidereal, because that's just a whole new thing and we haven't fully embraced and understood that. So we'll just get back to you on that. But it's an interesting and I think quite evolutionary approach to astrology. And I'm aware we're using this word evolutionary, and there is such a thing as evolutionary astrology, which is not using sidereal astrology. So I just want to be clear, that's a different type of astrology. I'm just talking about this in a case of is progressive. And so what we're discussing is progressive astrology, which means that it's following the progression of the sky. And that's how I want to explain that. So that in a nutshell is where we're at. It's super exciting. It can also make you just go, I don't even know what you were just all talking about. It's going to make you Google. That's okay, because that's what we do in this day and age. And everything is there, right there at your fingertips. This is why we are so able to explore so many different avenues at this time. We're in the Aquarian age. Nothing is secret. Everything is there right in front of us on our computers. So we can be experts in all fields. The truth is, what we actually want to do is come back inside, come back to what's occurring outside in nature around us, and reset our systems with that. That means that in order to do that, we want to be looking up to the sky and seeing what is actually there when we're talking about the moon and the sun and the stars. You know, as above, so below. And we want to have that experience of knowing, yes, what is the state of my mulberry bush at this time? Does it have mulberries on? Is it coming up to its highest form of abundance, or is it deeply in rest? And how are the constellations playing out around that seasonal shift? And how does that help me to understand myself better so that I can better serve my community? Because, can I just carry on for a second? Yeah. Because one of the things that I'm really struck with is I was listening to someone talk and they were saying that it is actually relatively recently that we have started using astrology for personal predictions. And if you think about it, it's quite Piscean to really dive into that, to get this understanding of who am I, what are my gifts, what are my traits, where are my skills. And we are moving, or we're on that cusp of moving through the ages from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age, where actually we're moving from this me to we. And so progressively, it could be seen that we actually want to get back into thinking, how can I work with the seasons and the constellations to better serve my family, my community, to be a better person for that, rather than to be a better person so I can win? Anyway, this is an interesting, I think quite interesting. So sometimes we go forward, but we pick up some of the things that might come from far back. So this is a bit like the way that fashion evolves, but it's also thinking about our hearts, the hearts that we have inside of ourselves, have existed through the generations that have come before us. And so in that, those energies are still there. Our souls embody that generational programming. And although we have lived in this Piscean age for a huge chunk of time, we can also say that we also too came before that. And so some of the progressive knowledge does indeed come from the past and will lead us to new futuristic viewpoints. Mm-hmm. And that's all part of the soul's evolution, because just like I said right at the beginning, being human means that we make mistakes. And I think we can all see how that's playing out in the world. And if we could all be a bit more humble and really just start to come back to what is around us in nature, protect nature and learn from nature, then we're probably going to see the most important, powerful, loving, compassionate and kind progression that is really necessary right now.
And I would say it's also really important at this time to really start to question and inquire into how much of what you believe has been inherited from the Northern Hemisphere, and how much has our society and our culture just adapted by inheriting a Northern Hemisphere culture or cultures. And how well is that actually serving us, and to what end? And that can be said for astrology, but it can be said for a lot of things, particularly the kind of like the bane of our existence at the moment is Halloween, because the only reason Australia has anything to do with Halloween is because it's become a commercial venture, and it's a Hallmark holiday. And you know, I'm dreading it, because you know the shops have just marketed to the kids, and the kids are now cannot wait for this day that they get to go around the neighborhood and get all dosed up on lollies. And so we don't have to participate in that, but I have to break my children's hearts by saying, well, you can't do that because it's actually wrong. What are you doing in our society that puts parents in that position? And it's just come, you know, potentially through ignorance and then vulnerability. And we've just allowed this occasion to occur, but it's not even the right time for that event or that occasion or that season or holiday where we live. So what are we actually doing? And that is not the only example, but that's a great one right now. So actually stop and think, why am I doing the things that I'm doing? Really, why? And then if you can find just an honesty to that, you'll find that you'll have a bit of a shift in consciousness, because you similarly to where we went, well, then this moon is not where the astrologers are saying that it is. And we just had a shift in consciousness, and we need to find out why we've been saying what we've been saying.
And I, you know, that, yeah, absolutely. And it's challenging. It's not to say if you, you know, do are excited about Halloween that that's wrong. This is important too, because it's, and I want to say that because we very much have this concept that, yeah, you know, this non-dual approach, so they're not being anything that's right, they're not being anything to wrong. It's actually what's true to you. It's actually what is true, what sits right with you. And one of the reasons why we're sharing what we're sharing is because, yeah, we want to share what sits right with us. And that comes more and more when you practice Kundalini yoga. It becomes a lot easier to get clear about what is true. And we've had to do that in many ways, even through our yogic practice over the last few years. Most yogis have, and we have really quite dramatically had to have really long, deep conversations between each other, with ourselves, in our meditations, about what it is that we believe and what it is that we share. And so Yeah, being clear about that is not easy, because sometimes it can be met with disapproval. One of the gifts that we get from Kundalini Yoga is the ability to actually be okay to share our truth, knowing that your truth might not be the same. And that's our Satnam. and that's why we're sharing what we're sharing. So the main reason for this podcast is so that some of you who are interested can jump on and listen and then make some decisions and come along and talk to us about what it is that that you feel. And we will start to share what it is that we're learning in our trainings and in our moon circles. So if you are already part of our moon circle community, then you will start to notice that we share this in a very simple way over these next few weeks and coming months. And I think that as we continue to do this, it will become much more succinct and it will become easier to make sense of. And we hope that it helps you to expand your evolutionary knowledge and progressive insight into all that actually is.
Yeah, Satnam.
Yeah, so that's it.
There it is.
There it is. It's out there.
Now to tomorrow. To tonight, actually. We have our moon circle this evening. I'm looking forward to being in that space. So yes, please let us know your thoughts.
Yeah,
wherever you're listening to this, you can reach out to us either in the comments, or you can email us, or you can drop us a line in our Facebook group, The Gathering. If anything that we've said, if you're new to Sam and I, and this is the first time that you're hearing us talk, please come and find other ways you can connect with us if you like what we've said. If you don't like what we've said, then let us know, because that's interesting too. And yeah, but it's about having open and honest conversation and discussion. Oh, what was that you were saying the other day, Sam? Having a good fight, being able to.
That's right. It's important for us to know that, yes, we can have a, we don't have to always think that it's about going to war and that going to war has to be detrimental. It's about considering when it is a good fight and how it is. And actually, relationships, the capacity to up level a relationship is based on how well you can argue. And it's not that you have, and it's understanding that you can argue without actually being accusational, without actually blaming the other. But in that, there can be such a growth in the relationship, such a growth in the communication, that if you can move through that, then there's an up-leveling in your relationship. So predominantly, we're looking forward to up-leveling our relationship with all of you.
Mm, that's right. On that note, Satnam.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us on this podcast episode. These are sound bites and conversations about things we think are important to support the collective ascension towards more love, acceptance, hope, and harmony on the planet Earth. Together, we can continue to support each other through conversations that need to be held. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do share it with your people. We would love it if you subscribe to our channel and even rate the podcast if you feel called to. You can also find us and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Spotify just by searching the 13 Moons Women's Temple.